Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge-watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Very exciting. Great to have you with me tonight as we make our way through this cold, dark winter night. We make it a little lighter and a little warmer by talking about movies, music, and the TV we love. Great to have you with me. My name is Pete Schwabba. As always, with me tonight is Conrad. Conrad, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Pete.
I'm glad to hear that. You ready for some texts and some calls tonight, buddy?
Oh, I'm ready. I am ready for the text.
You hesitated, though. That's why I didn't know if you were ready or not.
No, I am completely ready.
Just a little. Did not fill me with confidence, but I know you can get the job done because you always do. So that's fantastic. great to be with you again on another night in the state of Wisconsin. That's where we are broadcasting from, the state of Wisconsin. We're broadcasting from Green Bay, from beautiful City Deck Landing, all over the state of Wisconsin. My guests tonight are Matt Miller from On Milwaukee. He's an entertainment reporter who we love to talk to here at Nightlight. Chris Mays of Dinner Detective Green Bay. And Jason Mansmith, who is representing the Thrasher Opera House in Green Lake. I love when little towns have opera houses, and they have some really cool shows that they put on there in Green Lake. And it's we're going to talk to Jason about what they have coming up there. We're going to talk to Matt Miller about all kinds of show business news that he also reports on. And Conrad, have you ever done a dinner theater detective dealio?
I have not, no. But it seems so interesting.
Okay. It does. And I have a lot of questions because I don't know exactly how they do it. It just seems like it would be something that's tough to pull off, but we'll talk to Chris and he's got all the answers for us. They do these shows right in Green Bay, and I know they do them throughout the Midwest. And they give you dinner and they help you solve a crime and you can be part of the crime. So we'll talk to, those are our guests. We got kind of a nice assortment, like we always try to have here on Nightlight. Last night, well, actually I should say first, like today is National Winnie the Pooh Day. So did you grow up with Winnie the Pooh?
Okay. Yeah, I don't really remember back then. I remember kind of growing up. Okay. I don't remember any episodes or anything, but.
Okay. I think Winnie the Pooh is like the coolest thing ever. And I used to play it for my kids. And it's one of those things when you're a parent and your kids want to watch stuff, you hope to God they watch stuff that you are mildly amused by or interested in, at least. And Winnie the Pooh, probably because I watched it when I was a kid. It's great. So I always loved when my kids wanted to watch Winnie the Pooh. So let's play. We have the theme song, and this is the Carly Simon version. I love this, and I love when she sings this. Let's play a little bit of that, Conrad.
Deep in the 100-acre wood where Christopher Robin plays, you'll find the enchanted neighborhood of Christopher's childhood days. A donkey named Eeyore is his friend.
If you want to remember this song, text us and let us know what you think.
There's Rabbit and Piglet and there's Owl, but most of all Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh.
All right.
Tubby little cubby all stuffed with.
Is that like the greatest song ever? I did everything in my power not to sing along with it because I would have ruined the moment. But and that's Carly Simon singing the Winnie the Pooh song. It's so cool. Some cool stuff happened on this day, too. First of all, it's Kevin Costner's birthday. Let's get that out of the way. He is 69 years old. I don't mean get that out of the way. He's a good actor. He's done some really cool stuff. And some pretty cool stuff was introduced to the American people on this day, one of which was the show The Jeffersons, a Norman Lear show, which was a spinoff of All in a Family and has one of the most iconic intro songs ever. Conrad, let's play a little bit of the Jeffersons theme song. I dare you not to tap yourself, Conrad.
I'm doing it right now.
Awesome. Great spinoff from All in a Family. Sherman Hemsley as George Jefferson. So funny. And I want to say that is the first show in America that had an interracial couple who was married. Their neighbors. Kind of a groundbreaking show in its own right, as was All in a Family. Okay, cut it, Conrad. So there you go. The Jeffersons aired for the first time today in 1975, and that is one of the most iconic theme songs ever. So do you want to know what else dropped years ago, Conrad?
Was it one of your movies?
I think. No, that was last night. I don't have enough movies to my credits to have one drop every night in history. Let's see. All right. This leads me to tonight's question, because years ago, I think 2010, this song hit the airwaves and made believers of us all. Go ahead, Conrad. Know it. Did you listen to this girl off camera?
Oh, definitely. I was a believer.
You were a believer? He may be a believer with this song. Let it play for a minute. This is great. I remember, like, Justin Bieber first kind of came on the scene. Thinking, oh my gosh, whatever, boy band, boy soloist, whatever. That's a catchy tune. And that is a song I would leave on in the car driving around if it came on and I was by myself. One of many, I might add, I would play it and I would enjoy it. Which leads us to tonight's question. You ready for this, Conrad?
Oh, yes, I'm ready.
Of course you are. You work here.
Yeah.
You have to be ready. In the spirit of Baby by Justin Bieber, what's a song you hate to admit that you like? That's tonight's question. What is a song you hate to admit you like? And I don't, I'm older now. I don't even care. I don't hate that I like that song. There are others I've listened to over the years. But that's catchy. It's a cute song. He's kind of a wholesome kid. Then they grow up, start hitting the tabloids, and it's like, oh, geez. But that's a good song. What do you think? What, you have a guilty one, Conrad? You have a guilty pleasure song?
I do. It's by a band called He Is We. It's really good.
I don't know this band.
Really? Yeah.
What's the song? Can you play it?
Yeah, I can play it right now.
All right, let's hear some of that. I want to hear what you're listening to.
Merrily we fall out of line I'd fall anywhere with you, I'm by your side. Swinging in the rain.
That's not terrible. We're not going anywhere. Were you embarrassed by that?
I guess with my friend group, we don't usually listen to this type of music. So,
what is
they're
your
a little surprised
group?
when I played that.
So are they listening now? Is there any chance that you're going to be ridiculed for this?
No.
I hope not.
No, I hope not.
I don't want to play a part of that. I hope not, too. That's a nice song. I like the acoustic guitar.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
It's a really great song.
Yeah, I like it. All right, let's play one more. Do you have the, what's the other one I said I was, oh, this is a good, another boy band song. It's not NSYNC. It's the, I used to get those two confused.
It's the other ones, the Backstreet Boys.
It's the Backstreet Boys. Play the Backstreet Boys.
You are my fire.
Don't even try to tell me you don't like this song, people.
Desire,
it's catchy.
Believe.
Yeah,
when
it's a good song.
I say I want it that
I'm trying
way,
not to sing. I'm trying not to sing, Conrad. That's not too bad.
It's, yeah, it's not bad.
I mean, what are we doing here? These are nice songs. I don't know why. I was jaded too. Like in my 20s, and I would hear this and go, oh, God. It's fun. All right. That's good. So, okay. So that's our question of the night. What is, oh, we already got some text too. In the spirit of Baby by Justin Bieber, which I just admitted I liked, what's the song you hate to admit you like? That's tonight's question. 920-264-0606. Let us know. You can always join the conversation, regardless of what we're talking about. We'd love to hear from everybody. And the best way to do it, too, or another very convenient way, is to download the Civic Media app. Very easy to use, and you can just click the text icon right under the play button and let us know your thoughts. Conrad is standing by, ready to take your calls and your texts. And I know it's early, but I'm going to read a text. This is from the 262, Greg from Waukesha. Which Green Lake, Pete? The green light near Fond du Lac? I don't know. I didn't know there were two Green Lakes. Great town, as long as you don't get pulled over in Rosendale. Well, that I've had the pleasure of doing that. I don't think it's that Green Lake, Greg. And also from Greg, yes, Winnie the Pooh. Greg is a Winnie the Pooh fan. We're just guys being guys, and we don't care. Winnie the Pooh rules. So that's our question. Let us know. You can always chime in on whatever we're talking about. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more Jim Carrey, which we did not get to finish last night. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. There it is. We're all believers. We are all believers tonight. We all have guilty pleasures. Songs we listen to when we're by ourselves or singing in the shower or no one's home. And as the saying goes, we dance like no one's watching. That's one of my guilty pleasures is Baby by Justin Bieber. And we have a couple more texts from the 715. Backstreet Boys is a proud pleasure. I like that. Proud is all capped. That's fantastic. Also from the 715, guilty pleasure song for me is Closer by Chainsmokers. I don't know that. Do you know that band, Conrad?
I know the Chainsmokers. I don't think I've heard the song, though.
Okay. But you're not, you don't smoke.
No. I'm not a chain smoker.
See how I did that? See how I did that? I tied it in. So I guess we have a call. We have Greg on the line. Why don't we see what's on Greg's mind? How's it going, Greg?
Hey, it's going. It's going good, Pete and Conrad. How are you guys doing there in Green Bay?
We're doing great. It's good to hear from you. I like your choices.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I hope it's warm in those studios there that you guys, I hope they put the heat on in the Civic Media studios there for you guys on full blast because it's about 3 below here, so.
Yeah. They do spring for heat. I will say that. They're very generous with their heat. So what's going on, Greg? What's on your mind, buddy? Did I lose my sound there? Uh-oh.
No. Am I back? No, you're all fine. Greg, are you still there?
I'm good. Okay. Did we lose Greg?
I think we lost Greg.
I thought I lost myself. Actually.
Yeah, we lost Greg.
Greg didn't like hearing that we were toasty warm, so he bailed on the call.
I guess call back
if you wish. Call back and we'll put you through, Greg. We hope you didn't get your phone turned
off.
He's
right here.
That could be dangerous. Okay. Hey, welcome back, Greg.
All right, I'm gonna put you right through. All right.
Oh, okay. This is our phone system here. Conrad has an actual switchboard in front of him. He has to put in the pin. Hey, Greg, welcome back. Sorry, we lost you there.
So no, that's fine. That's fine. I was just babbling. So, my guilty pleasure song is Skater Boy, Avril Lavigne. I don't know. I think I'm embarrassed to say that I'm an Avril Lavigne fan, Pete.
Well, you're not too embarrassed because you called to tell the whole world you're an Avril Lavigne fan. So you can't be too embarrassed, Greg.
Well, I guess and the song is just a bop, as the kids would say. It's a jam. So
yeah.
I'm hoping that Conrad might play that. I think there's a couple words of profanity, you know. In a little bit of the song, but it's been played on secular, you know, regular radio, and it's just a good song. And
okay,
I don't know. Did you know, by the way, that Avril Lavigne started out as a country singer before she became like all pop. You know, pop music. So yeah, she started out country. So anyway, that's my guilty pleasure song. And I was just saying, hopefully that the studio is nice and heated for you guys in Green Bay. So hey, this weekend, I just want to say I'll be attending the Waukesha Winter Jamboree, and I'm really excited about it. There's fireworks tomorrow night. So
nice.
Oh,
very nice. Why don't you call in and give us a report, Greg, if you're so inclined?
Yes, the blind man will give you a report on the fireworks display. But I will let you know all the distinct colors, and I'll just be going ooh and ah and trying to blend in. But I will give you a report. Definitely, I'll call in and maybe play some of the fireworks live, you know, on the air.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
So,
fantastic. Well, yeah. We'll see if we can track down that song. And
okay,
thanks for the call, Greg.
Boy,
have a great night. Thank you.
Okay, you too.
All right.
Bye,
sounds
Conrad.
Good. Later, buddy. Let's see. Maybe we can pull that during a break. Skater Boy. Have you heard that song, Conrad?
Yeah, I have.
Greg texted twice and called. So he's got a lot of guilty pleasures. He's almost got as many guilty pleasures as I have. And when your whole song catalog is a guilty pleasure, you got problems. But no, that's good. So, hey, we have a call. Okay, so yesterday was Jim Carrey's birthday. And it got mixed in with some other stuff, too. Not that these other birthdays aren't as important. It was James Earl Jones's birthday. And who else's birthday was it? I forget. But we had a lot of clips to play. We have two leftover Jim Carrey clips that must be played because they're very funny. Do we have time for one of those right now, buddy?
Yeah. This one's
when
they pick up the hitchhiker.
Okay, they pick up a hitchhiker played by Mike Starr, who's funny. If you know the movie Dumb and Dumber, you're going to know this clip. Go ahead, buddy.
Say, are you guys going to Davenport? My car died and I'm late for a luncheon.
We usually don't pick up hitchhikers. But I'm going to go with my instinct on this one. Saddle up, partner. You're it. Quitsies.
Any quitsies?
You're it, quitsies. No any quitsies, no startsies.
You can't do that.
Can't do.
Cannot.
Stamped it.
Can't do. Double stamped it. No erases.
Cannot.
Triple stamped it. No erases. Touch
no,
blue,
no,
make it
no,
true.
No. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd. You can't triple stamp a double stamp. Lloyd. You
guys. Enough.
Hey. Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys!
Fellas. Did think we could listen to the radio or something?
Radio? Who needs a radio? Ready, Harry? Mock!
Yeah!
Ing!
Yeah!
Bird!
Yeah!
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 Mockingbird, don't everybody have you heard?
Have you heard?
She's gonna buy me a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing, she's gonna buy me a diamond ring. And if that diamond ring don't shine.
Hey, Lloyd, look, there's some people who want to write too.
Pick them up!
Mockingbird is actually one of my guilty pleasure songs. So that worked very well, the way we weaved that in there. I love that he says at the beginning, we usually don't pick up hitchhikers, but I'm going to go with my instinct on this one. And then they're having so much fun. He sees more hitchhikers and says, pick them up. That's good stuff. So in a couple minutes, we've got Matt Miller going to join me. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. I want to get his take on the Emmys. He also wrote a very cool piece for onmilwaukee.com today that ran today. And I've got, as usual, so much to talk to Matt about. This is Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Nightlight. Trudging through a very cold week here in Wisconsin. So what better way to get through cold unseasonably? It is unseasonably cold. It's more cold than it should be. So what better way to get through this than by talking some TV and movies and guilty pleasure songs coming up in the second hour. This is kind of exciting. I've always wanted to do one of these, but I've never done it. It's a dinner detective, like a dinner theater detective show. And Chris Mays is going to be here. He's going to tell us about his operation called Dinner Detective Green Bay. And he'll be along at the top of the hour. And then at the bottom of the hour, Jason Mansmith will be here and tell us what's coming up at the Green Lake Thrasher Opera House. I love when little towns have opera houses. So they will round out the second hour. We will read more of your texts in just a minute about what your favorite guilty pleasure song is. To be honest, I don't want to get this wrong, Conrad.
Okay.
The question is, in the spirit of Baby by Justin Bieber, which was released in 2010 on this day, what's a song you hate to admit that you like? And I think that should be the first question we ask our next guest. And that guest is Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com. Hey, Matt.
How are you doing? Happy almost weekend.
Yeah, we're getting there, aren't we?
Yeah, we've earned the weekend after surviving the day after tomorrow in Wisconsin this week.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Matt, do you have a guilty pleasure song that you listen to and kind of rock out to when no one's around?
I mean, I wouldn't call it a guilty pleasure, but I absolutely love Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe. I think it is a tremendous pop song that I have deep affection for. In fact, I have a deep affection for most of Carly Rae Jepsen's discography. I think she's a really fun pop star. And listen, if you're lying to yourself and to everyone around you, if you say that you hear that song, you don't start mouthing along to the lyrics and dancing a little bit. That's a classic guilty pleasure.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. And Matt, tip of my hat to you for the use of the word discography. Well done, my friend.
Thank you. I said that word with a beret on and with a cigarette with the long, long stem.
I love it. Hey, so before we jump into, I want to get your take on the Emmys and obviously what you're watching in the upcoming potential Oscar nominations. But you had a great piece today in On Milwaukee about Beethoven and Coldplay. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I loved it.
Yeah, so the MSO, the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, is bringing in this incredible kind of musical fusion show. Steve Hackman is kind of the musical genius behind this, and it is a show that combines Beethoven and his Eroica Symphony with Coldplay, with the music of Coldplay, and it's kind of a fun little mashup, because on one hand, it seems like two things that should not go together whatsoever. It's a composer from two centuries ago who is long since dead, and a rock band that is very much still alive. But also at the same time, you know, Coldplay does have these kind of grandiose orchestral themes to some of their songs. I mean, Viva La Vida is so dense with that kind of music. And I do think I got a chance to interview Steve, and he brought up a lot of interesting points about, you know, the kind of overlaps between Coldplay and Beethoven and kind of the French Revolution inspirations they had with Viva La Vida and the Eroica Symphony, and how Beethoven would probably relate a lot to Coldplay's lyrics, because Coldplay, it's very easy to scoff at Coldplay, I admit it, but at the same time, they write these very simple emotional songs that really hit people. I mean, Fix You is a hit because people feel that song, and yeah, it may be a little treacly in some places, but it also hits something deeply universal about loss and about feeling like you need a helping hand. I think it'll be a really cool show, and there's going to be some more mashup songs afterwards. There's going to be a bonus kind of mini concert after the main concert as well, so it should be a really great night on Saturday night at the Bradley Symphony Center.
That's so cool. And I totally agree with you about Coldplay. Actually, they're one of my guilty pleasures, and not even a guilty pleasure. I admit I like Coldplay, and they do tap into a nerve or something. Okay, so Matt, I love talking to you about award shows and just entertainment in general, obviously. But what was your take on the Emmys? Did you have any kind of overall thoughts? I went on kind of a rant the other day that I thought Bob Odenkirk and Better Call Saul got snubbed. And then I think I saw your dad had a similar post the next day on Facebook. So he and I are in lockstep. How do you feel about that?
I think if you made a list of the TV shows that never won an Emmy, you would have a really terrific TV channel. I think it's kind of like the Citizen Kane not winning Best Picture. You know, sometimes the best thing doesn't win and isn't the universal choice. I will say I thought the show itself was really good. I like award shows that seem to actually like the things that they are awarding. I think that's why the Grammys are beloved. And I think the reason why people enjoyed the Emmys with all the reunions on stage, I think the Oscars needs to start getting on board with that. Because every Oscars, the host makes jokes about like, oh, had to watch this movie so long. I mean, Joe Coy did that at the Golden Globes. The one about, had to watch all of Oppenheimer. Well, it's one of the highest grossing movies of the year and one of the most loved movies of the year. You're kind of alone on that island. And also, we are here to celebrate these movies, not to complain about how we had to watch them. You never hear Trevor Noah at the Grammys talking about like, oh, God, we got to listen to a jazz artist, or oh, we got to listen to some pop music. Trevor Noah is so excited about every single music genre taking that stage at the Grammys. And I think the Oscars could use some of that and kind of be like, hey, instead of eye rolling at, oh, another Martin Scorsese movie. Oh, can you believe we had to sit through that? No, you nominated it multiple times. Why are you acting like it was a chore to watch these allegedly great movies? So I hope that the Oscars take some of that. I agree a lot with the idea of spread the wealth at these award shows. I mean, The Bear is a great show. Succession is a great show. What if there were more than two great shows that came out last year? Let's reward more shows, more performances, so that way people watching have a better sense of the kind of great year of television and movies that we had. I'm a little concerned it's going to be like this at the Oscars, where this really good year of movies is just going to be Barbenheimer, and that is all that's going to get nominated and all that's going to take the stage at Oscars night. when there were a lot of other really tremendous movies and performances and technical achievements that are also worth putting on a stage and telling people about.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I mean, the whole event of award shows is cheerleading and celebrating. Let's not like why do we have to bring conflict to that? That's why we're here. I don't even think you can really tell what the best movie is. I guess people vote and that's what happens. But you're right. Why would you make fun of even Ricky Gervais, who I love? I'm like, these people have done amazing things in their industry. Let's build them up a little bit. You know, we like it. That's why we're watching the show, is because we like what they've done. So that's a great point.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's always the frustration for, especially for movie fans, is why are the Oscars so afraid to be about the movies and to celebrate the movies? You know, we're all nerds watching the Oscars. Yeah. So like embrace it. Again, that's what the Grammys do. The Grammys bring out, you know, old and young and celebrate all genres of music. Why don't the Oscars take a page there?
Totally agree. The other thing, like Succession, I almost, you know, I did like 2.5 seasons of it. I liked it okay. Once I accepted it as a comedy, I liked it more. But it was nominated, or it won for Best Dramatic Series. And that, to me, it's like a satire. That's a weird category for me. But and The Bear, too. Is that really a comedy?
Yeah, that was the kind of big question people had. I think The Bear got into the comedy category basically because it's a half hour long. And that's why people kind of considered it a comedy. I wouldn't think of it as like a hard drama, but it's also neither a comedy. And maybe that's kind of the difficulty of having these kind of genre-based awards, is that we don't really have a lot of, you know, just one thing genre movies anymore. I mean, how many people, a lot of the reason why comedy doesn't play well at movie theaters anymore is that Marvel became the comedies that people see, that Marvel had such a light tone and such a comedic angle that those kind of became people's comedies. But would you ever consider Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 a great comedy? It's kind of, you know, it's tricky. So that's kind of the problem with having these kind of genre angled awards. And the Grammys run into that too, where it's like, well, we're mashing up genres so much, how do you kind of put it under one umbrella?
That's really interesting. That's a really great point. So if you had to choose, my guest is Matt Miller. He writes for about entertainment for onmilwaukee.com, and he's always fun to talk entertainment with. I kind of ask people this occasionally, Matt, and I'm obviously a very big fan of Better Call Saul. Better Call Saul or Breaking Bad?
That's a tough one. I tend to go Breaking Bad, just because I do love the kind of progression, and I love it is kind of the alien versus aliens scenario of like, well, alien has to win because aliens wouldn't exist without it, you know, like Better Call Saul exists because Breaking Bad exists. So it kind of, you know, chicken and the egg. So I give the nod to Breaking Bad. But I mean, it's easily one of the most spectacular and most kind of engaging. I mean, the idea of doing a spinoff and taking it in such a fascinating direction the way that Better Call Saul did, that's a real achievement. And it says a lot about, you know, the kind of golden age of TV that we've been in and are probably leaving now, you know, that they were able to kind of pull off a spinoff in a way that didn't feel just like, oh, this is a money grab or a ratings grab, that they actually had a really interesting new idea to build a whole new series and a whole new kind of television masterpiece from.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when I would watch Saul, how it took its time. And especially when the show opened, they would just focus in on a cup of coffee being poured with great sound and all these great. And I learned to just trust the writers and the producers. And I'm like, all right, this is going to go somewhere and it's going to be really cool. And it was different, in my opinion, than Breaking Bad a little bit that way. But yeah, both phenomenal shows. Happy Days, Matt.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No. You. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, that's called Better Call Saul had the built-in audience and had the built-in trust from an audience that already knew they loved Breaking Bad, that they loved the creators, that they loved Bob Odenkirk, that it was like, okay, we can trust the audience is going to go with us on this kind of storytelling approach. Whereas, you know, a show like Breaking Bad really had to, like, from ground one, be like, okay, you're going to have to trust us on this journey, and we're going to have to hook an audience in and kind of convince them that this is a story to invest in.
And that's a great point. And I honestly, the first time I saw Breaking Bad, I almost couldn't believe what I was watching. Like, it definitely has that sort of appeal that Saul doesn't. And you're right. Saul probably couldn't have taken its time and done some of the things it did without the precursor of Breaking Bad. So I'm hoping, you know, we can keep you just for a few more minutes because I want to talk movies with you. I want to talk. Have you seen Saltburn?
I have.
All right. We'll talk about Saltburn. And I think the last time you were on, we talked about Anatomy of a Fall, and I've seen it since. So we'll talk about that. And hopefully we can squeeze in a little Happy Days talk, too. I'm talking with Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have not seen Saltburn. I recommend it just to see how weird it is. My guest is Matt Miller from On Milwaukee. Matt, what do we make of this movie?
So this is the new movie from the writer-director of Promising Young Women, the Oscar-nominated, Oscar-winning movie. And yeah, she takes a big swing on this one. Kind of a talented Mr. Ripley riff. It's first of all, it's visually spectacular. It is a gorgeously shot movie. It is sumptuous to look at. It takes some bananas turns that the movie thinks are maybe a little bit, that's a polite way to phrase it. It takes some bananas turns that I think the movie is very impressed with. And my concern with Saltburn is one that I had with Promising Young Women, where I'm not going to spoil anything, but the end of Saltburn does a lot of twists and turns that kind of feel like they exist for the sake of twisting and turning and messing with the audience and maybe undercutting its message at the same time. And you have a little bit of that with Saltburn, actually a lot of that with Saltburn, where it really is trying hard to kind of pull and yank the audience in these ways that I don't think work very effectively and don't really work great overall with the message that the movie is trying to get across and the themes it's trying to get across. It is a movie worth seeing. It is a movie that you will not forget anytime soon. It is a big swing, and I think the performances are really good. I like Jacob Elordi in it. I think that's his best performance of this kind of breakout year he's having. But I don't think it all sticks the landing.
Yeah, Barry Keoghan, too, has kind of a hypnotic approach. Like the whole film, Matt, while I was watching it, I was like, I know something's going to happen, and I was not prepared like for what I saw, but it was like, and I kind of agree with you, but I will say I never turned it off, and I knew I wasn't going to turn it off. I was like, a couple times I looked into what I was watching it with, and we were like, okay, that's interesting, but, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because where the movie's going is pretty predictable. Like the movie thinks it's really pulling a rug out from underneath you at the end, But when you're watching the movie, you're kind of knowing exactly where it's kind of going on some level. So it kind of feels like the movie tries to shock you into making its twists mean more.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it works great, but it is memorable. You're not going to walk out of Saltburn and not have an opinion on it.
Yeah, definitely. And they do kind of set it up from the beginning, the way the movie starts, was just, I can't remember his character's name. I love him. I'm not in love with him, but I did love him. So you kind of get the sense something happened. I'm not doing a spoiler or anything. But hey, what did you think? Like you mentioned Scorsese before. I think the last time you were on the show, I had not seen Killers of the Flower Moon. I can't remember what you said about it. Were you a fan? Did you like it?
I'm a big fan of it. I think it's quite good. It's a tough watch. It's a heavy watch. It's a long watch. But I think Scorsese, especially with these late career movies, is really utilizing the length of movies to enhance the stories he's trying to tell. You know, Wolf of Wall Street is a movie about why won't somebody stop the success until you reach your breaking point. And The Irishman is that way too. It is about the accumulation of a wasted life is The Irishman. That movie doesn't work if it's 2 hours long because it doesn't have the weight of, wow, we watched this whole man's life and it meant nothing at the end. And I think Killers of the Flower Moon is the same way, where it really wants you to sit in just how long this brutal murder spree, this brutal extermination was kind of allowed to continue on and kind of, you know, thoughtlessly, maniacally allowed to drag out in plain sight. And I think it has the best ending of the year. I think the final 10 minutes are breathtaking in terms of what it is saying about the movie itself and about the audience. I think it's very good.
Yeah.
It will earn a lot of the awards it gets and is nominated for come March.
A very cool cameo by Scorsese. And that might be one of my top five favorite De Niro performances ever. He was so good.
It's a great performance.
Yeah. And what I loved about it too was different than The Irishman. Like with this one, I savored every moment that I was watching a Scorsese film, whether it was, you know, the locations or the acting or the story. And I love that it was based on a true story too. So yeah, just a phenomenal film. I'm talking with Matt Miller from onmilwaukee.com. We're talking movies. I think we have time for one more, Matt. We got a few minutes left here. Anatomy of a Fall. Can I get your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think this is going to be one of the sleepers coming in the Oscar Best Picture race. I will say wasn't able to see it. It was only in Milwaukee for a little bit, and I've been waiting for it because I know it's going to get nominated for Best Picture. And I also believe it's going to, and when you get nominated for Best Picture, then you get a re-release. So I really want to see it on the big screen. So I'm holding out on that one, but I do think this is going to be one that is going to get nominated for a ton of awards come Oscars Tuesday nomination morning. And I think a lot of people are going to be like, oh, what is this movie? And people are going to want to seek it out. And I am going to be one of those people. I'm going to be very excited to see that one.
Well, you'll have to come back after you see it because I'm anxious to talk about that one with you too. So just real quick, if I could get your thoughts, Matt, Happy Days, 50 years ago, the show drops and Jump the Shark 4 years later. it's in your hometown. The fictitious show is set. Were you a fan? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you have to grow up loving Happy Days. That is just one of those universal shows that no matter what generation you grew up in, you grow up watching that show. Like, I believe that was a Nick at Night staple. You love the Fonzie.
Yeah.
And, you know, it created an iconic thing with the Fonz, and it created an iconic thing with Jumping the Shark that even decades later, people know what that phrase means. It's, you know, it is an important part of American cultural history, no doubt.
So crazy, too, that I didn't know this until I was doing some research for the show Monday night when I saw that they jumped the shark. I thought it was like season 10. They jumped the shark like in season 4. So they didn't waste any time. But, hey, Matt, thank you so much. We got to make this a regular thing. It's great to have you on, and thanks so much for your time tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me. And, yes, we will have to talk again soon.
Always, buddy. Have a great night. Thanks, Matt.
You as well.
All right. Always great to get Matt's opinions on movies and TV. He's he always brings up something I didn't think of. So we'll have him back on again soon. Maybe after we hear the announcements. Conrad, take a memo. Let's have Matt on next week after we hear the
okay.
Add it to your stack of memos. All right. When I come back, we are going to talk Detective Dinner Theater in Green Bay. You won't want to miss that. This is Pete Schwab. The show is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe, I believe, I believe I'm falling.